This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. If you read the four Gospels, you've got four different accounts of the life of Jesus Christ. And anybody know which two of those four records the birth of Christ? It's only two of them. Which ones? Matthew, Luke, yeah. Mark and John don't have it. Don't really know for sure, but Matthew, he's portrayed as the king of the Jews. Isn't the birth of a king important?
Yeah.
In Mark, he's the servant. Who cares about the birth of a servant? I mean, from a human perspective. Luke, the birth of a person, a man, is important. You all have a birth date that you all fully aware of. And then in John, he's God. God wasn't born. So Matthew and Luke, you get the birth accounts. And you get some different details if you look at Mark and Luke, put them together to get the whole story there. So let's look at Luke chapter 1. Let's go 26 to 38. And this will be the account of the angel Gabriel speaking with Mary. So Luke 1, we'll go 26 to 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. That's an incredible account. I'll give you the message in a nutshell before we pray. We've got an incredible meeting right here in which Mary is given an incredible message. And then that message contains a miracle that will take place. So we'll look at those three things here tonight. The meeting, the message, and the miracle. So let's pray together. Lord, thank you for just being able to look into your word and read it. Lord, I know you've shown us from this pulpit and from many places here in this church and even in our homes great and mighty things from the scriptures. And we want to pray you do that again for us tonight. May we just be in awe of thy word. May we truly see the things from this passage that you want us to see. You know that I got a lot of things down here with notes, and some of them probably need to be avoided, and some of them probably need to go forth. And then, Lord, there's probably things that you want that aren't here in my notes, and I just pray that you would take this message the direction that you desire. Help me not to get in the way, and I just pray prevent any kind of influence from distracting us from the truth tonight. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so this angel Gabriel shows up. I thought it was kind of interesting. The angel Gabriel only shows up in two books of the Bible. So this meeting, which is the first point between Gabriel and Mary here in Luke chapter 1, is right after or sometime after a meeting between Gabriel and Zacharias earlier in the chapter. So, anybody want to guess here? Gabriel is found in Luke in only one other book of the Bible, and it's not anywhere in the New Testament. Anybody? Bob's got it back there. Daniel, yes. So Gabriel shows up in Daniel, and Gabriel shows up in Luke. If we have time here in a moment, we'll look at Daniel. But isn't it interesting that everyday sayings out of your King James Bible, you ready for this one? Have you ever heard anybody say they have the gift of gab? You ever hear that? Gab, G-A-B. Gabriel, G-A-B-R-I-E-L. Every time Gabriel shows up, guess what he's doing? Delivering a message. He's speaking a very important message. So everyday sayings from your Bible, there they are, the gift of gab. So let me ask you a question. Are you going to have an encounter with an angel in your lifetime? No, you're not. Not that you would be aware of. So some fun stuff right here. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Let's talk about angels for a moment here. Hebrews chapter 13. Will an angel ever come to see you? If he did come to see you, if an angel came to see you, you would never know it. So take a look at Hebrews 13. Look at verse 2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels. What's that last word right there? Unawares. Do you realize that you could have actually had a meeting with an angel, but you never would have known it? I've heard stories, and I don't know how much truth there is in the stories. My dad's got a story he tells, and he thinks there's a time where very likely could have been a meeting with an angel. Of course, it wasn't until long after the fact that the whole thing was done, before it dawned on him, that was a strange meeting. And it was with a man that he never got the guy's name. So, and I've heard other things about that. I don't know if that's true or not, but if you ever did have a meeting with an angel, you would not know it. How do I know that? How do I know that? The Bible tells you right there, doesn't it? If you ever had a meeting with angels, you wouldn't know it. So go back to Galatians chapter 1 and show you something here about angels. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. Another thing here about angels. Isn't it interesting how we are fascinated by things that we really shouldn't be all that fascinated by? Like, I think angels are really interesting to study. And not that we shouldn't be fascinated by them, but you go over to, we don't have time for this, but in 1 Peter, we were at the verse this morning, I think, in Sunday school. 1 Peter 1, it says that the angels actually desire to look into our salvation, indicating that we have something that they don't have. And we're blown away by all the things that they are in the Bible. So Galatians 1, take a look at this one, verse 8. Paul's warning here. He says, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So if you ever did have an angel preach something to you, don't listen. Now, isn't that funny that I say that? It's not funny, it's sad that I say that, because there is a man that was a cult leader that got his message from an angel. Angel's name was Moroni. An angel not found in your Bible, by the way. Joseph Smith. And he got, you better believe it, he got another gospel. So if you know your Bible right here, that message from Moroni should have been thrown in the trash. That message is an accursed message. So, and Mormons and their message that they get from that Book of Mormon is going to take them to hell if they don't get saved. So I'm not trying to be mean. That's just the way it is. Okay, go over to Daniel real quick. Let's take a look here at something about Daniel. So here in Luke, go to Daniel chapter 8. Here in the book of Luke, Gabriel talks to Zacharias earlier in the chapter, and then he talks to Mary. So he announces to Zacharias that he and his wife will have a son. And who was that son? You remember? John the Baptist. And if you remember, Elizabeth, Zacharias' wife, was barren. She was old. So for that woman to give birth was a miracle, just like for Mary to give birth, being a virgin, was a miracle. So interesting how Gabriel's involved with these announcements of miraculous things. So go over to Daniel chapter 8. Look down here at verse 15. I'm just not going to comment a lot on this. I just think this is interesting about things that Gabriel is interested in. Look at verse 15, Daniel 8:15. Came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. Then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Uli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for the time of the end shall be the vision. And you'll see here that Gabriel lays out future events for Daniel. That, by the way, most of the future events that he lays out have still yet to come to pass. Some fulfilled, some still future. Go over to chapter 9, Daniel 9, 19, and more here on Gabriel. By the way, that whole thing about entertaining angels unawares, check, make sure that I'm telling you the truth on this, but I'll tell you this and check it. In your Bible, when an angel shows up, it's always referred to as a he. And I know that the pictures always have the angels with wings. Well, in your Bible, they can fly, but you don't have to have wings to fly, right? So it's kind of interesting, if you ever did actually have a conversation with an angel, what would that angel look like? And again, you wouldn't know it, but what would the angel look like? Look just like a man. So that's why you would never know that you had a conversation with an angel. So Daniel 9, 19. O Lord, this is Daniel praying. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even, look at that, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Won't read the rest of this, but down there in verse 25, well, actually 24, there is the prophecy of the 70 weeks. Some of you are familiar with that. Down there in verse 25 is a prophecy of the coming Messiah, the Prince, and just a bunch of things there, some fulfilled, some still yet unfulfilled. So Gabriel is interested in telling the future. So go back over there to Luke, and let's see what he tells Mary here, all the things that he tells Mary back in Luke chapter 1. And this, again, this is just the meeting between Gabriel and Mary we're looking at here. So there in Luke chapter 1, future things that he tells Mary about are concerned about who she's going to give birth to. Miraculous birth, virgin birth of, I love verse 32. We'll get to this in a minute, but let me just read the first part of verse 32. I love it. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he shall be what? Amen. He shall be Jesus the Great, right? I love that right there. Jesus the Great, and he is great. I hope he's great to you. So anyway, back here to Gabriel and Mary. Look at Mary's response here in verse. Take a look at verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Kind of interesting, huh? Do you understand why that she was troubled at the saying? Of course, kind of strange that Gabriel would come in and say, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. So here there's some confusion with Mary. Now, look at verse 30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found, what's the word? Favor with God. So let's talk about Mary for just a moment. Now, your Roman Catholic Church would have you think that Mary should be worshipped, right? So how high should we hold Mary in esteem? How high should we esteem Mary, everyone? What do you think? How high should we esteem Mary? How about we esteem Mary as much as God does? Folks, it says right there, look at 28, at the end of verse 28, that she's, well, actually, middle of 28, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. She's a special lady. Let's not get around that. But she's not the only special lady. In fact, a couple things here on women in the Bible. By the way, biblical Christianity actually gives women their proper place, doesn't it? Your other religions think that women are subpar. They're less human, less than men. And that's obviously not the case in Christianity. So biblical Christianity, that is. So take a look. Go over to Judges chapter 5. This is a neat one. Judges chapter 5. I'll give you a reference for another one here. But look at Judges chapter 5 first. Women in the Bible, and Mary is called, she said to be, blessed art thou among women. So Judges 5, take a look at this. I'm not going to read all this, but this is a very interesting woman to study in your Bible. Her name is Jael. Remember Jael? Jael is the one that this man named Sisera comes to her, trying to hide out, and she welcomes him into the tent, gives him something to drink, gives him milk, which made him go to sleep. While he's asleep, she takes a tent stake and a hammer and quietly goes up to him, and she fastens his head to the ground, driving the tent stake through his temples. The Bible just tells you like it is, doesn't it? So if you read that account there, it's quite interesting. Now, after all that, look down there at chapter 5 of Judges. Look at verse 23. "Curse ye Meroz," said the angel of the Lord. "Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." 24. "Blessed," what's that word after blessed? "Above women shall who be? Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite." Heber the Kenite be. "Blessed shall she be above women in the tents." Now compare Jael to Mary. Mary is blessed among women. What is Jael? She's blessed above women. So if you really wanted to hold a woman in high esteem in your Bible, who should you hold in high esteem? Jael ought to be held in high esteem, right? But who holds Jael in high esteem? By the way, fellas, if you ever meet a woman named Jael, you might want to just kind of keep your distance. So, but isn't that interesting? We get it so wrong. Just check the Bible. Blessed above women is Jael. Mary is blessed among women. So why is Mary blessed among women? Go back there to Luke, and you find out there in verse 30, it says that the angel says to Mary that she has found favor with God. There in verse 30. "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." So let me ask you a question. Are you favorable before God? Have you found favor with God? I got the answer for you. You can actually measure it according to the Word of God. Go to Proverbs 3, a passage that most of you probably know. Some of you know by heart, Proverbs 3. You want to find favor with God? God tells you how to find favor with Him. You want to be like Mary and find favor with God? You can do that. Take a look at Proverbs 3 here. Why was Mary highly favored? I think that we get the answer right here in Proverbs 3. Look at verse 1. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Okay, now there's the conditions laid out. Forget not my law. That's learning God's word. Let thine heart keep my commandments. That's living God's word, keeping His commandments. Now, if you do that, look at verse 2. Look what happens. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Good rewards there for obeying verse 1. Now verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." So there's another condition there. Be a person full of mercy and truth. If you do that, look what happens in verse 4. "So shalt thou find" what? "Favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So that verse right there tells you how to find favor with God. You want to be favorable before God? Obey verse 3. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." And I think that you can make the case for Mary having favor with God there in Luke chapter 1 for the same reasons. If you go down, we're not going to read this, but after Gabriel leaves Mary, if you go down there to verse 46, take the time this week maybe to read 46 down to about 55. Mary speaks some incredible prophetical things. And how would she know these incredible prophetic things? I think that she had spent quite a bit of time in the Word of God. I think that she knew the Lord real well. And again, that matches up with Proverbs 3 with mercy and truth. She knew the truth. God revealed to her more truth. And she gives some things there from 46 to 55 that are just incredible, mostly prophetic things. So, really neat there about finding favor. So some neat things there about Mary. I'll give you another reference here. Over in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, there's a great woman of Shunem. And I think that's just really neat that God holds women in high esteem. And God uses women to do great things. Amen, guys? Amen, ladies. God can use women to do great things. God can use men to do great things. But in God's economy, the Church of Jesus Christ, man, God greatly uses women. He really does. He uses men, uses women, but it's not like, you know, you're less of a person. You can't be used. You know who else God uses? Miley and Addie? You know who else God uses? Children. Amen. You know, children sometimes will do things that adults won't do. They're bold. They're not scared to do things that adults would do. You give a kid a track and say, hey, hand that to that guy over there. Most kids will, okay, I'll run over there and do it. You give an adult a track, hey, hand that to that guy. Awesome. I don't know about that, you know. I've been like that before. So God will use anybody. You know what God needs? He needs somebody that's willing. All right? So you need not wait for an angel to show up to deliver a message from heaven to you. You know what God wants to do every day with you and me? Have a meeting with you. You don't need to wait for an angel. You need to get out your Bible and open it up. God's got a message for you. God wants to have a meeting with you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hear my voice, what's he going to do? He's going to open the door and sit down and sup with me, and I with him. That's Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord wants to do with you every day? He wants to sit down across the table from you and give you a meal, a spiritual meal. It used to be in our country. I know growing up, this was me, and maybe this was many of you. All the time I was growing up, I bet out of 7 nights a week, probably 5 of those nights, sometimes 6 or 7 of those nights every week, we sat down at the table as a family and had dinner. That doesn't happen anymore because people are so stinking busy, right? But we used to do that, and it was a great time. I did not enjoy it as a kid, but looking back, I really am grateful for it. You know why? What happened at those meals? Mom and Dad said, so how was your day? And I said, fine. What did you learn in school? And I would say, nothing. That's how it usually went, you know? And Mom and Dad would eventually have to pull things out of me. But isn't that interesting that we associate mealtime with conversation? The greatest mealtime you can have would be with the Lord, Him feeding you and you having a conversation with Him by you reading His Word. So have a meeting with God this week, hopefully every day this week. I'll tell you about an interesting meeting that happened to me many years ago. There's a guy that played Major League Baseball. His name was Bobby Bonner. Missionary to Zambia, Africa for many years. Really neat guy. He actually witnessed to Cal Ripken. Played baseball with Cal Ripken, if you're familiar with him. And witnessed to the very well-known and somewhat notorious manager, Earl Weaver, back in the days when the Baltimore Orioles were very good. So Bobby Bonner, missionary. My dad was pastoring in Ohio. My parents lived there, so I spent the summer with them a couple different summers. And that summer, Bobby Bonner was passing through. My dad knew him, and he had Bobby Bonner come by the house and talk to me. So I'm in college at the time. I'm not living for the Lord. I got one main thing I'm chasing. You know what it is? My dream of doing well playing college baseball. Oh, yeah, I was getting a degree, but that was all secondary. I was all about playing baseball. So Bobby Bonner comes over to my house and sits down with me. And what do you think I wanted to have a conversation with him about? What do you think I was asking about? Come on, Bobby, give me some baseball help here. So he quickly, I mean, short, just a few words with those answers of my baseball questions. And then he ran immediately. Guess where he ran to? Hey, what do you think about living for the Lord, Micah? Hey, let me give you a little bit about what my life has been like living for the Lord. Let me tell you about my baseball career and how secondary. My baseball career is secondary to living for the Lord. And I'm telling you, at that time in my life, I needed to have that meeting with that man. And immediately, it did not change a thing. In fact, it was a couple of years later where I realized, man, that was God putting that man in my life to have a meeting with me to try to get my attention. And again, I didn't listen at the time, but it obviously became very valuable to me later on. So, folks, the greatest meeting you could have would be with the Lord. So have a meeting with the Lord this week. Okay, so that's the first point. We're actually doing good on time. Let's talk about the message here. The message that Gabriel delivers. Look down there at verse 31. By the way, I want you to look and see if you, as I read 31 to 33, this is the message. I want you to see if you can come up with, I'm going to put you in school here for a moment. Come up with the theme of the three verses, all right? Obviously, it's about Jesus Christ, but see if you can come up with something, generally speaking, a theme about Jesus Christ from these three verses. So, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. So there's the message that's delivered to Mary about this baby that she will give birth to. So give me some help here. General theme of 31 to 33. Obviously, you could say, well, it's about Jesus Christ, and you're right. But give me something else. Anybody? What's that? Okay, he's going to be born. A little bit more than that, though. You're right. A little bit more? Oh, the power of Jesus Christ. I like that. That's good. Yeah, very accurate. What else? Verse 32 and 33 both mention something. At the end of 32, it mentions about a throne. Did you see that? Throne of his father David. And then verse 33, a reign for how long? Forever. Now, let me ask you something. Do you see a thing in verses 31 to 33 about Jesus Christ dying for our sins? I don't see it there. Isn't that what we always focus on when we think about Jesus Christ being born? Yeah, he came. He was born, and obviously he went to the cross and was buried and rose again. I'm not trying to take away from that at all. I just think it's really interesting that here in Luke chapter 1, there's not a single mention, at least in that section, about Jesus Christ dying for our sins. Now, I got an idea as maybe why. Go back to Isaiah chapter 9. Take a look at this. Isaiah chapter 9. Folks, if you'll take the time to read through your Old Testament, particularly the prophets, there's an overwhelming theme in the prophets. You'll find this in Isaiah, Jeremiah, particularly Daniel, and just about all the minor prophets. You'll find an overwhelming theme. And that theme is about a great king coming. And a great king coming to reign on David's throne forever. And you'll find prophecies about Christ coming to die, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22. You'll find those. But you know what you'll find a whole lot more about? You'll find a lot about Jesus Christ coming to reign as king. Now, before I get into this, I want you to think about, this is tough for us to do, but I want you to try to do this for a moment. Think about things for just a moment from the perspective of God the Father. The day that Christ died on the cross, what did God the Father do? This Judy's got it back there, I think. Turned his back on him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me, he says on the cross, right? The Lord actually was telling the truth there. The Lord, Jesus Christ, God the Father actually turned his back on the cross. How come that is? Well, he could look upon sin, and Jesus Christ became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him, okay? Now think about that from God the Father's perspective. Take that day that Christ died. And then take the day in the future where Christ gets his rightful place as king. From God the Father's perspective, which day is a greater day, a more glorious day? When he becomes the king, right? Now, I know I'm not trying to say that we're wrong in focusing on his death, burial, resurrection. Hey, that's how I got saved. That's how I got in the body of Christ. That's how you got in if you trusted Christ. But folks, let's not forget, there's some great stuff still future that's coming concerning Jesus Christ. I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. Every year at election time, every time we have an election, we get this Messiah complex about us. We want this great leader to be the president or the whatever leader of whatever it is we're voting for, right? And we want this perfect man to become the leader. You're never going to find him. The great presidents of the past, they have all had their flaws. You're never going to find him. And I think that God put in us this desire for a perfect leader. Because there will be one day. He gave us this longing for us to have rule with justice and judgment, which Jesus Christ will bring. So as we celebrate the birth of Christ this time of year, folks, there's so much still to come concerning Jesus Christ and what he will do. He did work on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. Amen. That's how I got saved. There's so much great stuff to come. Don't miss it. So Isaiah 9, I know that I read this verse for many years and I missed all the future stuff here. Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born. Look at the next part of this verse. Unto us a son is what? Now, I've always read that God gave his only begotten son, right? I think that you can make that application to that part of that verse. How about this part, though? Galatians 1, I believe it's verse 4. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Was a son given? Yeah, he gave himself. Unto us a son is given. Now, okay, that's all past. Child was born. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Son is given. Yeah, you could say that's even the cross. All right, that's all past. Everything that's coming here is future. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Is it now? It's not. Have you seen some of the rulers in the world that we have right now? We were talking to our friend Daniel about some today. We had got off on some things. There's been some evil, wicked rulers. So that has not happened yet, but it's going to happen. It says the government shall be upon his shoulder. How about this part? And his name shall be called Wonderful. Now, is his name called Wonderful today in our world? Come on. His name is used in vain more than it's called wonderful in the world we live in. Counselor. If you're saved, oh man, that's a great one. If you're saved, is he your counselor? Amen. All right. The mighty God. He is God in the flesh. The everlasting Father. That would make him equal with God the Father with a capital F. The Prince of Peace. Amen. He's the only one that brings everlasting peace. Heard about that this morning. Verse 7. Now look at this. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. All right. Every time this year rolls around, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, right? We don't have it. Now you can have it spiritually right now. If you're saved, you have it spiritually, whether you know it or not. But folks, physically, we don't have it yet. What's the verse tell you, though? It's coming. It's coming. Of the increase of his government peace, there shall be no end. Notice this. Upon the throne of David. Why does that keep coming up? You'll see that over and over in the scriptures. The throne of David. That comes up because David had a throne as king, reigning over Israel from Jerusalem. Jesus Christ will have a throne as king, reigning over, oh, not just Israel, the world from Jerusalem. It's coming. All right, and then it says, upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even how long? Forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, I never thought about this before, but what if Mary, very likely, I don't say what if, Mary knows this prophecy. It's written in 700 B.C., somewhere around there. So she knows this prophecy. So go back over here to Luke chapter 1. So that angel Gabriel mentions, come on now, this is really something. He mentions at the end there of verse 33. We'll just read verse 33. Now think about what we just read in Isaiah 9. 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom shall be there shall be no end. Into verse 32, the throne of his father David. She knows Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, most likely, right? I wonder if she put those pieces together and thought, I am going to be the one to bear the king over all the world, which makes sense for her to say in verse 34. We'll get to the last part right here. This would be the miracle. Look what she says in 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? So isn't it interesting? She takes all that, and she's pondering all those things, and then she says, her big question is, all right, so all this could happen, but it can't happen because, there's no man involved. So how could that possibly be? So this would be our last, third point here. It's not 7 o'clock. The last point here is the miracle. And I think this is a miracle that I'm on the third point before 7 o'clock. Anyway, she says, how? How is this going to happen? How is it that I am going to have a child knowing not a man? And look at verse 35. She gets an answer. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So, short answer. How is this going to happen? Mary, this will be 100% the work of, let's get specific here, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will make it possible for you to give birth miraculously to this baby who will grow up and reign over the entire world from Israel, from Jerusalem. So pretty impressive right there. So let's spend our last little bit here talking about birth and miracles, or we could say miraculous births. I love thinking about this time of year. Mary is told that she will have a give birth miraculously to a baby that will be no ordinary baby, right? So miraculous births. Let's think about that for a minute. Go over to John chapter 1. Miraculous births. Mary gave birth miraculously. She conceived of the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ was conceived of the Holy Ghost and was born. That was a miraculous thing for that to happen. So speaking of miraculous births, John 1:12. But as many as received him. Have you done that? If you're not sure what that means, the verse actually defines receiving him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? All right, now I'm a son. I'm the son of Jerry and Marilyn Rockwell. Do you know how I'm the son or why I'm the son of Jerry and Marilyn Rockwell? Marilyn Rockwell gave birth to me November 11th, 1972. Jerry Rockwell was the father. So that is, I'm the son of Jerry and Marilyn. By what? By what? By birth. Okay, so it was my mom and dad that were responsible for me ever being born. I'm a son by birth. Folks, it says that if you receive Jesus Christ, you are a what? Son of God. I became a son when I was born. How did you become a son of God? There had to be a new birth. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be, John chapter 3, you must be born again. Folks, the most miraculous birth outside of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is if you're saved here tonight, you're born again. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. So let's talk about that for a minute. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. By the way, John 1:12, I didn't finish. Power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. How do you receive Jesus Christ? You believe on His name. It's so simple. And you became a son of God if you believed on His name. By birth, by virtue of the new birth. Birth of the Spirit, born of the Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1. Now let's put all this together here, see if we can. 1 Peter 1, when you go to the Old Testament, I just got a few of these I put down here. In the Old Testament, there's some women that want to have children. And they can't have children. But then they have children. You think of any? How about Abraham and Sarah? They were both old. And Sarah, there's no way. She said, there's no way I'm going to have a child. She laughed when she said that, when she was told she was going to have a child. And guess what happened? She had a child. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and she gave birth to Isaac. All right? Remember a man named Manoah in the book of Judges? Remember him? Doesn't say his wife's name, but they had a child, even though she was barren. And remember that kid's name? Samson. Remember that? In 1 Samuel, there is a man named Elkanah, and he has a wife named Hannah. She cannot have children. She's barren. She goes to the temple. She prays for a child. Guess what happens? She has a child. What's that kid's name? Samuel. Folks, there's just a few. Miraculous births. Now, can a virgin give birth? Well, it would take a miracle, but a virgin gave birth. So if you've been born again, guess what it took for you to be born again? It's a miracle. That is miraculous work if you've been born again. All right? So 1 Peter chapter 1, look at this, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So isn't it interesting? It mentions that the incorruptible seed there that brought about, that brings about the new birth. What is it, folks? Did you see it? It's the Word of God. So the incorruptible seed of the Word of God had to be received into your heart. And once that happened, again, the Holy Spirit being involved here, because the Word of God and the Spirit of God always work together. Once that happened, you believed. Guess what happened, folks? You were miraculously born again. Born of the Spirit. All right? Go over to, go back to Luke here for a second. Just got a couple more things to look at. Go back to Luke and notice what Mary says about this whole thing here once it's all done. Angel answers her, Gabriel answers her about how this is going to happen. And obviously that question that she asked, you know, how is this going to happen? And then he tells her, verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her, what? Old age. So there's another miraculous birth in this chapter. Who was it? It's John the Baptist. Elizabeth giving birth to him. She was an old woman and she gave birth. That was a miraculous thing too. This is the 6th month with her who was called barren. How could a barren woman give birth? Take a miracle, wouldn't it? Folks, God's in the business of miracles. All right, and I say this because if you're saved, that was an incredible miracle, whether you ever realized it or not. If you've ever led anybody to the Lord and they got saved, what a miracle that was. Folks, you understand many things that happen when a person gets saved. They have the wrath of God upon them. They believe on Jesus Christ. They receive him as their Savior, realizing he paid the price for their sins. Guess what happens? The wrath of God is taken away. They're no longer bound for the lake of fire. They're bound for heaven. That's pretty miraculous. I want in on that. Oh, I am in on that. That's miraculous. Why wouldn't anybody want in on that? All right? So look down there at verse 36. It says that she was called barren. And then verse 37. Rev 36. 37. Man, you got to love this verse. If you're saved, this is a verse to cling to. For with God, what's that next word? Nothing shall be impossible. That's a great verse right there. Nothing shall be impossible. Now, why did God throw that little verse in there? Well, Mary here is wondering how this is going to happen. Even though the angel gives her an answer as to the process of through the Holy Ghost, how it'll happen, God throws that in there in verse 37, that nothing shall be impossible. So I got to thinking about some things that pertain to Christians that in my little human mind, looking at a human perspective, these things seem impossible. I'll just give you two things real quick. Go over to Philippians chapter 3. You know what I think is going to be an incredible thing, a miraculous thing? How is it that one day I will go from here on planet Earth to meet Jesus Christ in the air, and somewhere between here and there, my body will be completely changed for the better, for the much better. Take a look here, Philippians 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You looking for him? Yeah. I hope so. What's going to happen whenever we meet him in the air? Look at 21. Who shall change our vile body. Is that your body right now? Everybody said amen to that. You have health issues of any kind. Amen to that. Change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. I read those two verses right there, and I say to myself, how can these things be? How in the world could this happen? How can I go from here to there, and somewhere between here and there, I meet Jesus Christ in the air, and my body is changed into a body that is sinless like the body of Jesus Christ? How can that be? You know what the answer to that is? Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. That's the only way to explain that. That's a miraculous thing that will take place in the future. I'll show you another one here. Go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. So bottom line on these things. If God said it, even if I don't understand it, if God said it, it'll happen. If God said it and it seems far-fetched, if God said it, it will happen. If God said it and I don't believe it, if God said it, it'll happen. So you see that Mary's perplexed by this whole thing. How's this going to happen? If God said it, it'll happen. The message from Gabriel came straight from the Lord himself. He said it, and it happened exactly as he said it would happen. So for 1 Thessalonians 4, look at verse 16. It's about the rapture. Again, I read this, and I think to myself, how can this be? Look at it. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You ever seen a dead person get out of the grave? According to that verse right there, that is the word of God, folks. According to that verse right there, graves will open one day, and the dead will be raised out of the graves. How can these things be? I've never seen this happen. See, my little human mind is going. And I got to put that off the side and say, God said it's going to happen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's going to happen. Keep going there. It says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. How's that going to happen? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So I can sit here and wonder and think all day. So two verses in closing. Go to Jeremiah 32. Actually, we'll just go to this last one here. Jeremiah 32. Last thing here. Jeremiah chapter 32 on impossible things. See, look, you got to look up that word impossible in your Bible, and you'll see some incredible things. Folks, our God is in the business of working the impossible, performing the impossible. Amen. I'm going to tell you something that was pretty neat yesterday, and I completely missed it until after the fact. I think you could make a case, Brandon and Sam, for this being impossible at the time. Things happen so often to me and I miss it. And then later on I'm like, man, that was amazing. Has that ever happened to you all? I miss it when it's happening. And then later on I'm like, wow. Here we are. The time I got down to Port St. John late. I had a commitment I had to take care of in the morning. So I get down there later than I wanted to. And we meet at Jonathan's house. And it's the three of us. And we're trying to make our way to this parade route. And we got all these tracks. We're trying to make our way to this parade route. Get the very beginning of the parade before it starts. And the way this works, if you ever do this, it's really neat. This is Brandon shows how to do this. You get there before the parade starts, and you make your way all the way through the parade. You start where the parade starts, and you end where the parade ends, but you beat the parade. So you go ahead of the parade because everybody's waiting. See all these people sitting there doing nothing. They're just waiting. Hey, take a track. It's an incredible thing. Brandon taught me all this. I didn't know this before. So we get there, and we actually are a little late. The parade hadn't started, but you want to get there significantly ahead of time, 15, 30 minutes ahead of time. What are we, like 10 minutes before the parade starts? 5 minutes? So I'm like, how's this going to happen? Well, we get down there, and we start going, and what happened, it was really neat. The parade starts moving, so people are distracted from us because of the parade. Understandable, right? So Brandon, you know, here, I'm like, oh, I'm getting frustrated. And Brandon's like, just wait, just wait. And what we had to do is just wait because there would be a little lull, because they didn't have this thing where all the floats are supposed to be back-to-back, right? Well, they have these big spaces in between. So in those big spaces, we were able to get tracks out, and then we had to stop and wait. And get, so even though we got there late, we were able to get a ton of tracks out. I mean, well over 1,000, right? So we get there. Okay, so that's not the end of the story. Miraculous that we actually, in spite of the time, we were able to get our way all the way through the parade and get a bunch of tracks out. Now, then we get to the end of the parade route. We're at the end. We made our way all the way through there. What happens? Starts raining. And we got out of there just in time and got all the tracks out. Tracks didn't get wet. We didn't get that wet. Got it just in time. I missed it. And it wasn't until later last night, I'm like, man, that was a miracle. Now you can say, well, that was just chance or whatever. I think God works a miracle. I think that's pretty impressive that the Lord did that. He took up, I mean, we were late. You know, we should have planned better. It was my fault and should have done things better. And the Lord took that and said, you know what? I want to get these tracks out. I want these guys to get these tracks out. And he made it possible for it to happen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen? Amen. See, if you'll just pay attention during this week, God will do something. And if you're not paying attention, you'll miss it. God will do something that you'll say, there's no way that could have happened unless God stepped in there and did that. So get your eyes open. Be sober. Be vigilant, right? Yeah, your adversary, the devil. Yeah, you know what else you need to be sober about? Look for God to perform a miracle in your life. He just might do it. He might not do it every day, but he just might do it whenever you're least expected. All right, last place here. What did I say, Jeremiah? Here I am in Isaiah. Jeremiah 32, last place here. Great verse here to end on. 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there is, what's that next word? Nothing too hard for thee. Man, there's a lot of things that are hard for me to do. There are many things impossible for me to do. There is nothing too hard for the Lord, and the Lord is in the business of the impossible. We've seen, made a list here of unsaved loved ones. You know what God did? Some of those folks got saved. Might need to get that list going again. Pray for them. I guarantee you, we go around the room here. God performs some miracles in your life. I can tell you about my niece. Miracle that she's even alive. She celebrated her birthday yesterday. Miracle that she's alive. Then they told my sister to abort. Doctor said abort. She's gonna be all messed up when she's born, if she even survives the birth. She's fine. People praying. God performed a miracle right there. Go around the room. Folks, God is in the business of doing the impossible. And make sure you get your eyes open this week to see that. So last thing here. God's desire is to meet with you. He'll meet with you when you open up your Bible and meet with him. Make the decision to meet with him. When you meet with him, he wants to communicate a message to you from his word. And in that message, he just might reveal something miraculous to you. You know what's miraculous? And I miss this a lot too. It's miraculous when we take God's word and God reveals truth to us. That's miraculous. How does he do that? That's the work of God's Holy Spirit, the revealer of truth. To take these words that look like just words on a page, he takes those words and he shows us things that we could never understand on our own without the Holy Spirit. I think that's miraculous. So every day you can witness the miraculous. Open up your Bible, get God to show you something out of his word. miraculous things there. So how much time are you going to set aside to meet with the Lord this week so He might communicate with you and reveal some miraculous things to you? Or maybe reveal some miraculous things around you. Don't miss it. Don't miss the miraculous. All right? God performed the miraculous there, and He's still in the business of doing that. So let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for how so applicable to our lives and what's going on in our lives. Lord, make us to be awake, to be alert concerning You doing great, mighty things around us. May we not forget there are so many good things to come concerning Jesus Christ. Him reigning on this earth forever. Just an incredible thing that we can meditate on and ponder. I pray that as we go away from here later on tonight, that You would just go with us and lead us and guide us and, again, just show us some great things that only You could. And we ask this name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.